Those closest to the nave saw the archbishop walking past them, alone, followed only by the single, grim-faced, blue-eyed guardsman, and waves of relief rippled outward from them, following on the heels of the shocked confusion and anger which had already swept the cathedral. Stainer's face was less grim than Merlin's, and he seemed to find it rather easier than Merlin would have to keep himself from flinching as more hands than ever reached out, touching him as their owners sought physical reassurance that he was unharmed. Letting those people reach out to the archbishop, actually touch him, was one of the hardest things Merlin had ever done. Yet he forced himself not to interfere. And not just because he knew Stainer would not have thanked him for the interference. Merlin would have found it remarkably easy to live with the archbishop's subsequent ire, if only he hadn't realized Stainer was right about that, too. It's not even as if he'd reasoned it out, Merlin thought. It's who he is, what he is, pure instinct. Well, instinct and faith. Stainer reached the sanctuary rail, unclipped the gate in it, probably the first time in at least a decade that one of his acolytes hadn't performed that task for him, and stepped through it into the chancel itself. Merlin stopped at the rail, turning back to face the rest of the cathedral, but he also watched through the remotes his snarks had deployed throughout the enormous structure as Stainer genuflected to the enormous mosaics of Langhorne and Bedard, then stood to face the assembled congregation himself. The bedlam faded slowly and unwillingly as the worshippers saw him standing there. The blood spray from his would-be killers showed dark across his vestments, and there was still blood on his face as well, yet it was obvious that none of it was his blood, and several people cried out in relief as they realized that. Relief, however, did nothing to cancel anger, and Merlin could feel the rage crouched in the hearts and minds of those hundreds of people as they realized how close to assassination their archbishop had truly come. There were more shouts now, shouts of more clearly articulated, more sharply directed anger.
"My children,"
Stainer said, pitching his own powerful voice to break through the gathering storm swell of vengeful outrage.
"My children!"
His words rang out, cutting through the background noises, and quiet descended upon the cathedral once more. It wasn't silence. There was still too much anger, too much shock for that. But at least the noise level dropped, and Stainer raised his hands.
"My children,"
he said in a marginally quieter voice.
"This is a house of God. In this place, in this time, surely vengeance must be his, not ours."
A fresh ripple went through the cathedral, as if the people listening to him couldn't quite believe what they'd just heard, and he shook his head sadly.
"Whatever others may believe, my children, God is a God of love," he told them. "If justice must be dealt, then let it be dealt. But don't poison yourselves with vengeance. Surely it's tragic enough that three of God's children should already have died here in his house without the rest of them staining themselves with hatred."
"But they tried to kill you,"
someone, lost in the vast depths of the cathedral, shouted back, and Stainer nodded.
"They did," he acknowledged. "And they have already paid the price for that."
The regret, the sadness in his voice was completely genuine, Merlin realized.
"The men who made that attempt are already dead, my son. So who would you have us take vengeance upon for their crime?"
"The Temple Loyalists,"
someone else replied hotly, but Stainer shook his head once more.